Bomberna har slutat falla. Bränderna har släckts. Europa ligger i ruiner. Det döda är borta för alltid. Det levande går vidare. Överallt är det likadant. Ingen gas, inget vatten, inga telefoner, inga spårvagnar. Dags att summera kostnaderna. Tid att börja på nytt. Våren 1945. Kriget är över i Centraleuropa. Det tusenåriga riket finns inte längre. Oreda. Virvar. En skoningslös tid. En brutal tid. Våldtäkt. Hämnd. Tyskarna återvänder från de länder i öster som de har försökt erövra. Och där somliga av dem har bott i generationer. Nu får de betala priset. Men de lever åtminstone. Den tyska krigsmaktens sista timmar. Den har fått krig mot en hel värld. Nu räddar man det som räddas kan.
The mood of the German troops who were surrendering, I think, was one of relief. They were happy, for the most part, to surrender. They were interested in getting to the American lines, to preference to surrendering to the advancing Russian line.
Tyskarna är besegrade, men långt ifrån alla är knäckta. Blodsutgjutelserna är äntligen nästan över.
Had a European civil war that began in 1914. There was a long armistice in that war. Finally comes to an end in 1945. In the process of coming to the end, what happens is that sweeping into Europe from the outside are the Russians and the Americans. And they meet at Torgau on the Elbe River in May of 1945. with the result that no European nation wins the European Civil War. The winners in the European Civil War are, in fact, outsiders, the Russians and the Americans, most of all the Americans. So that you have the physical control of the continent in the hands of three outsiders, really, because the British were a part of it, although they only contributed 25% of the whole total to Eisenhower's Anglo-American force. But Britain, the United States, and Russia now control the continent. And they will decide what's going to happen to it.
Varken Sovjetunionen eller USA ville från början gå med I kriget. Men som vapenbröder har de nu vunnit en stor seger. När deras generaler träffas kan de diskutera taktik, pansarvagnar och kanoner. Men har de något gemensamt utöver pratet soldater emellan?
Russians were overjoyed, but we also, there was handshaking and backslapping and exchange of souvenirs. I have a Russian watch and somebody's gold wedding band, and I lost my watch. I lost all sorts of insignia from the uniform.
They were all very friendly. All the Russians were very friendly. A lot of them didn't speak English. And yet there were a few that spoke beautiful English. They were educated, say, at Oxford and Cambridge. I remember speaking to one, and I thought, oh, I'll never forget your face as long as I live. There's another war. I'll never forget you. Because he was rather young. He was quite young. And he was very pleasant. But you always kept feeling that they really hated us, which I'm sure they did.
The United States, of course, during the war had been propagandized into seeing Russia as a democracy, a land of freedom lovers, with essentially broad social aims about the same as those of the West, which seemed to make sense since they were clearly an enemy of the Nazis, and we were an enemy of the Nazis. Thus, it appeared we had a great deal in common.
Fellow delegates, the President of the United States of America.
I San Francisco I april 1945, en månad före de allierade seger I Europa, bildas Förenta Nationerna.
The Charter of the United Nations, which you are now signing, is a solid structure upon which we can build for a better world.
And there was great hope in the world that this would in fact happen, that this was the last war, that the victors would now be able to cooperate in peace as they had in war, to see to it, the four policemen, as Roosevelt liked to refer to Britain, France, the USSR, and the United States, sometimes the five policemen with China thrown in, would be able to see to it there would be no more aggression in the world. That the war had meant something, that it had been fought for something rather than simply against Nazism.
Well, there's a time for making plans, and there's a time for action. The time for action is here now.
Nation by nation, the delegates stand up for the great new charter they hammered out together. 50 nations standing side by side, unanimous for peace. Now, final signing of the charter. China signing first as the first nation attacked in this war. Dr. Wellington Koo's signature topping the long list to come. Then for Russia, Ambassador Gromyko commits his country also to the agreements and objectives decided upon after days and nights of compromise and cooperation. Four main agencies upon which the world now puts its hope.
A better world was going to emerge. And one part of this, of course, was it would be a non-colonial world, a world of self-determination. And this was felt very deeply in 1945, even by the most cynical of the world's leaders. I suspect even Stalin felt it. I'm sure that Harry Truman felt it. And Winston Churchill felt it. And the common people everywhere felt it.
Tyskland är också efter sitt nederlag nyckeln till Europas problem. Landet började kriget, så dess ledare måste straffas. Och tyskarna måste tvingas att betala för det lidande de har förorsakat. Men de kan inte betala om Tyskland ligger I ruiner. Eller om landet ska delas, som vissa vill. Ingen vill att Tyskland ska bli starkt igen. ändå ingen beredd att ta följden av att Tyskland tvingas förbli en ruinhög i all evighet. Lösningen är militär kontroll. Fyra ockupationsarméer ska övervaka Tysklands återhämtning. De allierades vaksamma generaler ska hjälpa till med återuppbyggnaden, men bara för att tyskarna ska kunna betala för det de har förstört. Tyskland får förbli odelat, men får aldrig tillåtas att hota freden igen. Juli 1945. Den militära administrationen börjar fungera. Amerikanska styrkor har ockuperat Leipzig, som ligger inom den ryska ockupationszonen. Amerikanerna drar sig tillbaka västerut över Elbe. Ryssarna tar över. Tyskarna, försiktiga, på sin vakt, nervöst leende, ser sina ryska besegrare för första gången. När striderna upphörde stannade arméerna här. Men ockupationszonerna hade bestämts tidigare vid de tre storas konferens på Jalta. Det skulle bli fyra zoner. Den ryska zonen innehöll livsmedlen och naturresurserna. De amerikanska, brittiska och franska zonerna hade industrianläggningarna. Huvudstaden Berlin skulle styras av en gemensam kommendatur där de allierades samarbetsförmåga skulle komma att sättas på prov.
Now there's been some question as to whether we weren't a little premature in fixing these zones until we saw how the armies were going to come out. And there's some evidence to indicate that our leaders underestimated the striking force of the Anglo-American armies that invaded Europe, because when we adopted the zonal positions, we gave up Saxony and Thuringia. But on the other hand, we got back, I think, good pieces of Western Austria, which had been occupied by the Soviets.
The thing that stands out here is that the Russians do let the West come into Berlin, which is, what, 80 miles within their zone. They didn't have to do it. And if they could have acted in Berlin as they acted in Poland, they could have just said, to hell with you, we're not letting you in, we're not going to live up to the agreements that we signed at Yalta on this, we're going to hold on to Berlin, after all, we captured it, we paid the cost. 100,000 Russians died.
Berlin i juli 1945. De tre stora kommer till Potsdam-konferensen. Föredragningslistan är lång inför segrarnas första möte. Men för västmakterna är det en fråga som dominerar. Vad vill Stalin?
At our first meetings, Stalin put forward at once the demands which the Russians maintained right through until the meeting of Potsdam. What he wanted was basically to ensure the security of his own country, regardless, of course, of the interests of his neighbors.
I had seen a good deal of him during the war, of course, and I went up to him and I said, Marshal, this must be a great satisfaction to you after all the trials that you've been through and the tragedy that you've been through to be here in Berlin. And he looked at me and said, Tsar Alexander got to Paris.
På konferensen fattas inga nya beslut om Europa. Man bekräftar bara det man blev ense om på Jalta ett halvår tidigare. Det nya är stämningen. Trots leendena för journalfilmskamerorna kommer västledarna och Stalin inte överens.
The feeling, especially in the States and most especially with President Truman, was that, aha, Stalin is another Hitler. They didn't think, oh, we made a great mistake in the war and backed the wrong side, not a bit of it. They were perfectly clear that Hitler was much the greater menace and that Hitler had to be crushed and that the crushing of Hitler absolutely depended upon the Red Army.
Röda armén har 300 divisioner i Europa. De utgör Stalins trumfkort. De är en styrka vid förhandlingarna.
Suddenly you are faced with the fact that the Americans are demobilizing, or rather at the time of Potsdam, what they were doing was redeploying, pulling the army out of Europe, taking it back to the States and getting it ready to send over to Japan, because they expected at that time to have to invade the home islands for the final defeat of Japan.
I was invited to see President Truman, and he shut all the doors and told me in great secrecy, the greatest secret of the war, the fact that the Americans had an atomic bomb which they were going to drop very soon, which he thought would bring the war to an end. He even said the reason for his decision was this would save thousands upon thousands of Allied lives would otherwise be lost in that frightful massacre which would take place on the shores of Japan itself. He warned me that I might find myself suddenly in a position with the Japanese having surrendered. And then I saw Churchill, and Churchill told me the same thing. He said, they will surrender. And what are you going to do about it? I said, well, just tell me. I haven't given it a thought.
Augusti 1945. Bomben har fällts. Nu kapitulerar japanerna. Deras städer har lagts i ruiner. Deras stormaktsdrömmar är krossade. Också deras öde ligger i erövrarens händer. Framtiden är oviss.
The Americans wanted Japan rebuilt as quickly as possible and a highly industrialized Japan to emerge from the war well within the American orbit. Truman made the decision at Potsdam that no one would be allowed into Japan except for American troops. The Aussies weren't let in. The British were not let in, and of course, most of all, the Russians were not let in.
Erövraren, general Douglas MacArthur, med sina amerikanska rådgivare, sitt amerikanska hov. Han ska försöka omskapa Japan till Amerikas avbild. Fångarna befrias. De amerikanska flygare som har bränt ner Japans städer är herrar nu. I Europa är det fortfarande sommar. 700 000 koncentrationslägerfångar har överlevt. Man är glad att man lever. Att man har återförenats, att man har överlevt, att man får komma hem. Sex miljoner för detta slavarbetare. Polacker, ryssar, jugoslaver, ester, tjecker, fransmän är fria att fortsätta sina liv. Nu när de tyska herrarna har försvunnit. Krigsfångar utan land att ta sin tillflykt till. Deporterade. Tyskar, soldater, desertörer.
It was very difficult to tell the difference between a German refugee and a Polish refugee in the part of Germany that I was located in. I wouldn't know which were which. You could be pretty well sure if they were humping things on their back and carrying bags, but they hadn't got a truck, they were almost certainly refugees.
Eller kanske SS-vakter i stulna fångkläder. Somliga väljer döden. SS-chefen Himmler tar gift. En del kapitulerar eller tas till fånga. Generalfältmarskalk von Rundstedt. Amiral Dönitz, Hitlers efterträdare. Albert Speer. Vad ska man göra med dem?
Stalin at the Yalta conference, which was attended by President Roosevelt and Mr. Churchill, said that he thought that 50,000 of the German general staff and officers should be gathered together and summarily executed. He wasn't joking. President Roosevelt thought he was, and President Roosevelt said, oh, well, perhaps 49,000. But Churchill said that he'd rather be taken out into the garden and shot at once than be a party to such an iniquity. But the Russians persisted almost until the end in saying that there should be no trial. These men were criminals and they should be immediately executed the moment they were caught.
Det blir rättegång mot krigsförbrytarna i Nürnberg, Hitlers stad. Brottsrubrikerna är brott mot freden, krigsförbrytelser och brott mot mänskligheten. De åtalade är alla tyskar. Göring uppmanas att antingen erkänna eller neka.
Bevor ich die Frage des Gerichtshofes beantworte, ob ich mich schuldig oder nicht schuldig bekenne, I informed the court that defendants were not entitled to make a statement. You must plead guilty or not guilty. Ich bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage nicht schuldig. Rudolf Hess.
Nein.
That will be entered as a plea of not guilty.
I think you'd say the purpose was a twofold one. The first was retribution, the punishment of people who had launched this war against the world, and not only the war, but who, prior to the commencement of the war and during it, had, of course, committed the most terrible crimes against humanity, as, for instance, by exterminating certainly 7 million Jews. The second purpose of the trial was, as we hoped, to lay down the rules of international law for the future, not only making the waging of aggressive war unlawful, but for the first time making the statesmen who led their countries into an aggressive war personally responsible for what they'd done.
12 million men, women and children have died thus. Murder in cold blood. Millions upon millions more today mourn their fathers and their mothers, their husbands, their wives and their children.
I was rather surprised at the appearance of the defendants. I thought, well, if I'd seen these people in the Clapham omnibus, I wouldn't have looked at them twice. And I think that was true of all of them, except perhaps Hess, who, and Ribbentrop, who both looked pretty miserable creatures, and Göring, who looked a very remarkable personality. He did dominate the court. He was the outstanding personality in the court. And you know, sometimes in the course of a long trial like that, lasting over 200 days it lasted, something would go wrong. You would ask a witness a question and the answer you expected to get would be yes. And the witness would answer no. And at that point you had to be very careful not to catch Göring's eye. He was sitting at the corner of the front row, and if you glanced across at him or caught his eye when there was an incident like that,
He would raise his eyebrow and shake his head in a rather smiling way, and it would be very difficult not to smile back.
Göring går rättvisan i förväg genom att svälja en cyanidkapsel. De andra hängs eller får fängelse eller blir fria. De har spritt sin falska ideologi i Tyskland. De har spritt död i Europa. Deras vanvettiga äventyr är över. Nu ställs de till räkenskap för Hitlers rike. Britterna återvänder till Asien i triumf. Men segern är tom. Indien är inte längre fogligt. 2 miljoner indiska soldater har kämpat för Storbritannien i Storbritanniens krig. Nu vill de att deras eget land ska bli fritt. Hans majestäts afrikanska soldater vill också bli fria. På Malakka-halvön och i Burma tycker man likadant. Britterna är för svaga för att kunna hålla kvar sina besittningar, även om de vill.
The main effect of the war against Japan in the Far East was the nourishing of the spirit of nationalism in Asia. A large part of Asia, of course, had been under British rule, and most of that that was not under British rule was under Dutch rule or some European rule. And the people were beginning to aspire to the creation of their own political and institutions. The demonstration by the Japanese that the British could be beaten, and beaten very severely, naturally encouraged in the eyes of the people of Southeast Asia the belief that they too might be able to secure a much stronger position against the British than they'd previously dreamt possible. This had a great effect on opinion in India and all over Southeast Asia.
Suddenly, I find myself responsible as the Supreme Commander for an enormous area of the globe with a distance of 6,000 miles across it, that's as far as from London to Bombay, with 128 million starving and rather rebellious people who've just been liberated, with 123,000 prisoners of war and internees, many of whom are dying, when we had to try and recover quickly. And at the very beginning, I had some 700,000 Japanese soldiers, sailors and airmen to take the surrender, disarm, put into prison camps, awaiting transportation back. Even looking at that, it sounded a big problem, but I had no idea what I really was in for. What I really was in for was trying to re-establish civilization and the rule of law and order through this vast part of the world. We didn't even know what the conditions were going to be. I had no staff really trained or qualified to help me in this task, except some professional civil affairs officers from the various countries concerned, whose one idea was to go back and carry on where they left off 3 or 4 years before.
Polisen är inte heller den bästa tänkbara. Indonesierna vill inte ha tillbaka holländarna. Om ordningen ska upprätthållas i Ostindien finns det bara en styrka som kan göra det. Den japanska armén. Mountbatten använder japanerna där, liksom i Singapore.
It may sound odd now after the war, but at the time, and it still makes sense, what was I to do? If I was to order them to lay down their arms and concentrate themselves in prison camps and leave the outside world without policemen or anything at all, that would have been very odd. No, I think that they had to carry on as they were until they were effectively relieved. That's the only order I gave. I didn't consciously employ them. They carried on until I could relieve them with Allied soldiers as soon as possible.
Amerikanerna är i Japan för att stanna. Nästan överallt annars i Asien gör sig det vita beredda att ge sig iväg. Motvilligt, oförstående, tar på holländarna av. Liksom engelsmän, men inte fransmännen. De tänker inte ge upp Indokina. De trupper de sätter in leds av general Leclerc, hjälten från kriget i Europa.
In my final conversation with General Leclerc, when I was about to turn over the military responsible for the South of French Indochina to him, I urged him to try and make friends, friends with the local inhabitants, friends with the local insurgents, because I said that's the way for France to come back, with a friendly relationship. I don't think you can impose by military means your old colonial rule. He said, I see the point. I'm sorry. I'm a soldier. My instructions are to take over the military way. And that, of course, is what he did.
Dödandet fortsätter. Och det ska fortsätta ytterligare 30 år fram till våren 1975 när USA, som tagit över efter Frankrike, lämnar Vietnam. Berlin under ockupationens första månader. Ute på stan syns tyska flickor som för inte så länge sedan var Hitlers hängivna anhängare. En del av segrarna lever livet.
Germany was on a cigarette and chocolate bar economy. This was right after the war, right after combat. And as a consequence, there's very little that an American soldier couldn't buy if he wanted to buy it, including services of all sorts.
It's the same old story of a boy and a girl. If you want to get together, there isn't any rule in the book or any law that says you can or you're not going to do it.
Black market was blooming. We had nothing. And a piece of soap was the most valuable possession. So you practically prostituted yourself just to get a piece of soap, maybe a can of coffee, or maybe even some cigarettes. People who smoked, I didn't, but you just did everything. I know people, very, very fine people, who just would have done anything. And you lose some of your human dignity when you are so hungry, when you are so without food, without clothing, without everything.
How could you blame a starving girl? They might not want stockings, she might not want cigarettes or bicycle or butter, but she did want badly something which could be provided by the appropriate, typically British or American GI. I had to give up smoking in the streets. In those days, I was a cigarette smoker, and carelessly, after all, there was a lot of rubble about. You'd throw your cigarette on the floor. Before you knew where you were, the fellow had almost caught it in his hand. He'd been trailing you because he saw he was smoking you. He saw you were smoking. And I remember that in one of the cinemas, I think it was in, doesn't matter, it was in one of the big towns, where there was going to be a performance for the American GIs, and they had queued up before it started. Well, of course, the Americans don't allow smoking in cigarettes, but they were all smoking in the queues. And practically opposite every smoker, there were a line of hungry-looking men, hungry for tobacco, waiting until the doors opened, and then as the cigarettes fell into the street, there was a rat rush, and the key place in that queue was just at the entrance to the cinema, because that's where most of the cigarettes came down.
In retrospect, this being a conqueror seems very dubious to me, but at the time it seemed quite right. We were convinced of our virtue and of German vice, and it was very pleasing to be able to tell them what to do.
Dags för återuppbyggnad. Tid för tyskarna att återhämta sig, så att landet kan börja betala sina krigsskulder. Sovjetunionen vill ha ett enormt högt skadestånd. Amerikanerna anser att det är större än vad Tyskland självt är värt. Väst tänker inte hjälpa ryssarna. Man slutar skicka varor och maskiner till öst. Ryssarna skickar mindre livsmedel och råvaror till väst. De allierades enade front börjar rämna. Tyskarna, klämda mellan de båda sköldarna, tar itu med sin återuppbyggnad själva. Nu har de inga slavarbetare.
Cleared the street and trams went by. I should hate to have tried to ride on one. They were packed to the roof. There were people hanging on the outside of the open windows. There it was cold. There were people standing on the buffers. And there were patient queues to get on these trams when they stopped, but nobody ever seemed to me to get off.
Geboren am 4. Mai 1932.
Suchdienst hjälper till med efterforskningar efter saknade och deporterade krigsfångar. 12 miljoner tyskar som har deporterats från öststaterna försöker få kontakt med varandra. De är inte de enda. 60 miljoner europeer har drivits från sina hem. En del av dem kommer aldrig tillbaka. November 1945. Tyskarna lever på 1500 kalorier om dagen. En tredjedel av de amerikanska soldaternas ransoner.
It was a very hard time because we suffered from hunger. As the Americans had much food, my mother decided to work for them. And I decided to work for them too. And my mother was in the kitchen and I was a waitress. Well, it was rather hard for me because the Americans ordered that I had to smile always. And I couldn't smile because the American officers were so proud and they treated us as Nazis.
Det blir ingen fredskonferens, inget nytt Versailles. Tyskland är delat. Skiljelinjen mellan de västliga och östliga ockupationszonerna blir den nya gränsen. Oavsiktlig, oönskad, men långvarig.
If you have a unified Germany that belongs to the Russians, then you have a Russian domination of the continent, of the whole of the continent. If you have a unified Germany that is altogether in the hands of the Anglo-Americans, then you have a Western domination of the continent that would cheat Russia out of her just claims to the security that was, of course, Stalin's number one concern all through the war and afterwards. So that dividing Germany along the Elbe was probably the best solution. One's tempted to use words like fair and just, but I don't think they really apply here. It simply is, it's the workable solution.
Wherever the Red Army was in a contiguous territory, they would install a Sovietized system, and that there was just no argument about it. And we did the very best we could on Poland.
The tragedy of Poland, of course, is that she's got Germany for a neighbor on one side and Russia for a neighbor on the other side. It's a terrible position to be in, but it's always been the Polish dilemma and the Polish tragedy. Poland has to fall into the orbit of one or the other. Given those choices and given the nature of Hitler and the nature of Stalin, I suppose if I were a Pole, I'd say, well, we're better off under Stalin's heel than we are under Hitler's heel.
Soldiers of Poland, I wish you all a speedy and safe return to your home country.
Polens tragedi, Sovjetunionens triumf. segerdagen i Moskva.
The Russians paid an enormous price for victory, of course, but the Russians did get gains out of the war, most of all security for themselves and control of East Europe and the opportunity, which they, of course, quickly took advantage of to exploit East Europe economically.
En nation som nästan har förblött under kriget måste återuppbyggas på något sätt. Och Sovjetunionen ska överleva som statsbildning och stormakt i ytterligare 45 år. London 1945. Eros kommer på plats igen. Storbritannien har också överlevt, men det är en märklig seger. Man kan göra utflykter i det gröna igen, men man får se upp med minor som inte detonerat. Ingen invasion, ingen ockupation. Ändå står Storbritannien på ruinens brant. Under 6 år har landet fört krig och varit helt inriktat på krigsproduktion. Ammunitionen har betalats med Storbritanniens välstånd och nu behövs den inte. Storbritannien har vunnit kriget och har nästan blivit bankrutt på grund av det.
The British had as many problems, if not more, in recovering from victory as the Germans did in recovering from defeat. The British... How did Britain get out of the war? Not very much. Not very much. She lost a very great deal. I suppose, if you want to look at it positively, she got a moral claim on the world as the nation that had stood against Hitler alone for a year, and it provided the moral leadership against the Nazis at a time when everyone else was willing to cave in to the Nazis.
USA 1945. The boys, pojkarna, har kommit hem igen.
The big winner in World War II is, of course, the United States of America. By far, we get much more out of the war than anyone else. There's a paradox here that very quickly after the war was over, Americans began to take the attitude that, aha, here it is again. We got fooled once more, as we did in World War I. We made this enormous effort. We beat the Germans. We beat the Japanese. And who wins? The Russians win. The Russians get East Europe out of it. We were suckers. This is very widely felt in the United States. It was a strange attitude to hold when you look with whatever objectivity that one can muster about such things is what the real results of the war were.
Amerikanerna kommer hem till ett oförstört land. Ett land som är dubbelt så rikt som när kriget började. Det finns mer mat än invånarna kan äta. Mer kläder än de har användning för. Mer stål än industrin kan utnyttja. Det är det enda landet i världen som har en god ekonomi. Och det har atombomben.